Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. And if you just tuned in, I got to tell you, you missed my first hour conversation with Liz Curtis Higgs. She comes on every month to talk redemption stories. She picks stories from Scripture and brings them to life, applies them to our everyday lives. So we talked about Mary and Joseph. And Mary was, she said, 12 years old, approximately, when she received the news from the angel that she would bear a son named Jesus. Such a powerful conversation. Great application to our lives today as far as how we live with a certain expectancy that God is moving in our lives. If you want to hear that whole conversation, it'll be up in podcast form in just a bit on our website at myfaithradio.com. Now, next, our good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley join me. They just come on about once a month, sometimes twice a month. And I don't know if I'm saying too much, but this is the most hilarious thing. This is how it goes with Greg. But he sent me an email and said, Susie, Aaron and I had this fight, and I learned something about myself, and we got to talk about it. So I said, it's perfect. So that's what we're going to do, is talk about an element that you need present when you're going to have conflict. And I honor these two for always being so transparent with their journey, because we learn from them, right? Well, we're going to get them on in just a moment. A couple of very important announcements first. Tomorrow, Thursday, is our great giveaway. We have it every year. We devote the whole show, 2 hours, to your phone calls. So I got to have you call, because I'm a little nervous, but every year we get so many calls we can't get to all of them. Why are you calling me? Because I've sent you out on a mini mission trip. So if this is the first you're hearing about it, you got 24 hours and you can do this. What's the best thing you can do with $15? I'm asking you, get outside your comfort zone. And if you don't have 15, do what you can with what you have. But engage in a random act of kindness. Notice somebody in need that you would normally miss or pass by. We're devoting the whole show tomorrow for your calls. It's like you're coming back off the mission field telling us your stories. Everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy, a gift book off of our Faith Radio shelf. Two of you who inspire us the most will get a great gift basket full of goodies. That is tomorrow. If you want more information, go to the Live the Promise show page, and it'll be all up there. Secondly, very important, we are partnering again with Angel Tree this year. It's a powerful ministry that reaches out to the children whose parents are in prison this year. $73 will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the message of the gospel, and a message of love from their parents. Now, I want you to think about this. For a child whose parent is in prison, they're looking around at these families are together, enjoying Christmas, enjoying the whole process of decorating the house and seeing the presents under the tree. And they don't have an expectancy that they're going to receive anything. When they receive a gift from their parent, when they receive a message of the gospel and a message from their parent, this is often a game changer. And we've heard so many stories of these children who've grown up to be missionaries and pastors and people who are engaged in reaching underprivileged kids. Such a powerful ministry. Let's hear a short clip from Angel Tree, and then we'll get Greg and Aaron on the air.
Jeffrey Hopper pled guilty to stealing $1.1 million from the Stardust Casino in Las Vegas. Because that's who he was, and that's what he did.
I've lived most of my life as a criminal who sold narcotics, who dealt in cocaine and acid, who robbed people, who robbed casinos.
Serving time in a Texas prison cell, his prime motivation was revenge.
I had a list, every single name of someone who had ever wronged me. What they did and what I was going to do to them when I got out was over 100 people.
His only weak spot was his 5-year-old daughter. When word came out that the chaplain could arrange for a Christmas gift to be sent to Amanda, he signed up, not expecting too much.
I didn't think anything of it until later I received a letter from my precious baby girl. A little pencil-scribed piece of notebook paper about the gift she had received and that she loved me.
For the first time, Jeffrey Hopper experiences love without condition.
I was floored. I didn't understand why these people were doing such things for other people. And why? Why do things for people who can't do anything in return?
Jeffrey's questions would be answered by his very own daughter on Christmas Day during a specially arranged visit. First, of course, Amanda thanked him for the present he had sent and promised to save it for just the right moment.
She told me all about the Candyland game, a game that she was going to wait until I got out before she would open.
Then, 5-year-old Amanda shared a new idea with her father, one he had never before understood. The volunteers with Angel Tree had told her about the wonder of God's love, grace, and forgiveness.
She went on and on in that visit about how Angel Tree had made it possible for her to know and understand that she could love me and forgive me just as Christ loved all of us.
But what about all those names on Jeffrey's revenge list? Could love overcome such anger?
And finally, the realization for me was that God didn't keep such a list. And after that visit, went back to the chapel and fell apart. And it was on that day that I gave my life to Christ.
On his last day as an inmate, Jeffrey held tightly to his Bible. Amanda had something in her hands as well.
I walked out those prison doors, and standing at the car was a little girl, holding a Candyland game, unopened. She'd waited those 2 years to open that gift, to play the first time with me.
A child's board game, a thank you note, pencil on paper, a visit from a little girl who shares a simple truth, a hardened inmate is broken. And that can be a very good thing. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that grace is all you need. Jesus' power works best in weakness. If God has revealed his forgiveness, love, and provision to you, this is your chance to give back.
This is why we're doing the great giveaway. This is why, you know, you give a gift, you change a life. And we forget about those who are in such desperate need. Our goal this year is to sponsor 1,200 children with Angel Tree. So check it out on our website. More information is there, myfaithradio.com. And as I said, our good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, are joining us today to talk about a very important element when it comes to conflict in marriage. So let me tell you about them, though they need no real introduction. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Erin is a Program Director at Focus. She's an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs. Did I mention Greg's an author as well? They work together doing marriage intensives and seminars, and they live in Colorado Springs with their children. They've got 3 daughters and a son, and you can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Greg and Erin, thanks for joining us again today.
Always a pleasure, Susie.
It's good to be back.
I marvel at how fast you can grow a beard. I'm just saying. I'm talking to Greg, by the way, Aaron.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, I was getting nervous there, too, thinking I'll have a lot of repair to do tonight.
Exactly.
Thanks, Susie.
Sorry about that. Well, so good to have you both. And the beard looks good, by the way, Greg. I'm liking it. All right.
Going for the Santa look.
Come on now. You're pulling it off. Very good. So we always start with Scripture, talking a passage, and you chose one, which was James 4:10, I believe. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Talk about that passage.
There's two words in there that really stand out. Just this idea of humble. What does that really mean? How do I put that into action? If I'm to humble myself before the Lord, what does that actually mean? And then I love that as we do humble ourselves, then God really lifts us up in honor. And so especially based on what we're going to talk about today, that is such a perfect verse that when we get into marital conflict, when we argue, when we get into long discussions, whatever, however we want to describe that, very long discussions sometimes, what does it look like to humble ourselves and how might that lead to us being honored versus this long drawn out conflict?
Wouldn't you say also the opposite of that, that the pride would cultivate dishonor in marriage and in your relationship, how you carry yourself? I mean, really.
Yeah, well, God hates pride.
Yeah, that's where we go.
God opposes the prideful. Mm-hmm. So, absolutely. So, it's such an opposite thing. But when I sent you that text or email, I can't remember what it was, telling you that, man, I had this great insight. It really does. It's all around pride, which may seem ridiculous. like it's easy for someone to go, what? You never thought of that before? I really didn't, well, in terms of conflict.
First of all, I want to hear from Aaron about the verse thing, but I got to say, I think the reason it didn't occur to you is you're not I wouldn't describe you as a prideful person. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think you're unearthing something because there are shades and levels of pride that some are obvious, but others aren't. And I just think that's probably why it wasn't obvious to you because you don't strut your stuff and all that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're just not like that. Yeah. So,
Aaron's... You and I have never had conflict, though.
Exactly. Well, yes, we have.
Yes.
You bugged me.
Well, usually it's over pretty quick and you win, so I'm not sure I call that conflict.
Maybe I need to look at that pride thing. Anyway, so Aaron, you want to go over the same verse or is there another verse you want to
No, the same one. What I love about this verse is that the amazing thing to me is when you humble yourself before the Lord, the impact that has on your heart. And, you can be in the worst place ever. And, just by simply stopping and, submitting yourself, humbling yourself before the Lord, just the impact that that has on your overall condition, your emotional condition, the condition of your heart, your physical condition. I mean, it just softens you. And I love that. And that then he will lift you up in honor. That's amazing to me.
It is.
That all we have to do is humble ourselves before him. And it has such a profound impact.
You know, the Bible says that flesh gives birth to more flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And the flesh, pride is. It wants to exalt itself. And what I've learned is I've thought a lot about this issue of pride, humility, and that there's life in death. There is life when you bow low and you defy your flesh's desire to rise up. There's life in it, as you're saying, Aaron. I mean, there's something about it because it's the life of Christ in you, isn't it?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, we'll probably need to take a break in 2-3 minutes. So give us the first synopsis of this knockdown dragout you guys just had. How should I say this?
We don't have these very often, like the biggies, but this was a decent-sized one.
All right.
Really, it was after a weekend of being at home, and it's been college football season.
Mm.
And Greg and our son, Garrison, who's 14, love to watch football, and that's great. But our son...
It's going to be in heaven.
Probably.
It will be there. I know it will.
I'm sure it will be. But our son, I went to Greg, and I just said, I'm concerned about him because... It's, to the extreme, he doesn't even want to go out because he wants to stay home and watch every last aspect of football. And I just, was saying basically the kid needs balance. And as his parents, we're the ones that need to hold him to that.
And
Greg didn't like that.
Well,
you were saying, Greg?
Part of it was that we were going to go down and watch a movie. It was the end of a long day. We'd both worked real hard around the house and just getting stuff ready. And so it was, in fairness to Aaron, we got down to the basement where the TV is and we were just going to start watching this. And so I just looked and she looked a little frustrated. So I said, is everything all right? And she goes, well, no. She goes, but I don't want to talk about it right now. So in fairness, I could have gone, okay, that's fair. Let's watch the movie. But because I'm an idiot,
you did something
different.
I seem
to be incapable of adhering to that. So I'm like, no, really, tell me. We can talk for a little bit. No, really, I don't think I should. Let's just watch the movie. No, seriously, if something's wrong, I want to know. So I pestered her into saying this. So once she then started to unpack her frustration, Garrison's balance and all that, it just, for whatever, for whatever reason, it triggered some stuff in me. So then we started to, what's the right word? Discuss?
Discuss.
Discuss.
Deep intensity different moments.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wasn't yelling or didn't get some big escalation, but it lasted for, 2 hours, I'd say.
2 hours. Okay, we're going to hear more about this engaged, longer conversation when we come back and what we learned about it all. I sound like a teacher. What did you learn, Greg?
Mm-hmm. Plenty.
Yeah, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Who of us doesn't fight wrong and get into those places where we later regret? Love this about the Smalleys. They're just so honest about their journey so we can learn from them. More with Dr. Greg and Aaron when we come back. Greg's not moving a muscle. Come on, Greg. Bop to the music just a tad.
In my
Aaron
heart,
is.
I was.
Aaron can't control herself.
All right. I wish
praying.
I could see you, Aaron. You were
yes.
praying.
You know, I wasn't dancing like you two. I was praying. So.
I see them on Skype, in case you're wondering why I know he has a beard. I see him on Skype, but I don't get to see Aaron's beauty face. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We love to have Dr. Greg and Aaron on as often as we can. We get them on a couple times a month. And if you just tuned in, they were setting up a good fight that they just had recently. And see, they were coming down the stairs, getting ready to watch a movie. Erin was a little bothered. Greg asked about it. She said, let's watch the movie, and we'll talk about it later. And he wanted to know now, which probably was a big mistake, because he pressed and pressed, and then you had a two-hour conversation. Take it from there, Greggy.
Yeah, you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horn. So. Yeah, so, I mean, all that to say, truly, in Erin's defense, she tried to set a boundary and kind of protect our little date night at home, and I pushed through that. And she was never mean about it. She just was expressing just her frustration around our son, that he seemed to be out of balance in terms of watching college football. And, you know, I think the conflict ended. Let me give you some insight. The conflict ended when I think we both, you know, almost like 2 hours later sort of deal, we just both were fatigued and we were tired and this was going nowhere. We're getting nowhere. Let's just stop. Let's go to bed. Let's pick this up tomorrow, whatever.
Was it because you're both just stirred up? I mean, because of the timing of the conversation? I mean, did it just sort of punch a lot of buttons for both of you? Is that kind of...
That, and I think Greg had worked on finances all day, and I had worked on something else, and we were exhausted.
Yeah.
And so as we age, we know that really past, you know, 8 p.m.,
no way, yes.
It's not going to go well.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just, and it did push a lot of buttons, and I think the thing for me is that it just went, it just turned into a bigger deal than I thought it needed to be. And the fact that it went on for 2 hours was exhausting.
Well, and the piece that bothered me was the last thing she said to me. So we just kind of reached this place of we realized that we were at an impasse and just, well, this is getting us nowhere. Let's end. And she goes, by the way, your mother warned me about this before we got married. That you're capable of these kinds of conversations.
20 years later, I'm waiting to play this almost. Card.
24 years later.
And now's a good time to put this card on the table.
Yeah.
And it really bothered me. Not that she said that. It bothered me because
well,
she was true.
I said it. His parents seriously took me aside before we got married. And they said, now we just have to warn you. When you and Greg have conflict, he has this uncanny ability to just go on and on and on to finally you just wear out. And they said that
could have
literally
laughing there. You're all broken up over this, aren't you, Greg?
He was a little boy, like hours and hours and hours. And they would say, Greg, we will win. You will not beat us by you know, continuing to draw this out. Well, literally 2 hours later, back to, you know, our conversation in the basement, while I wanted to watch a movie, I literally sat there going, oh, my
oh,
word.
It was entertainment.
You are
right.
Still doing this. You did this when you were a little boy, and here you are. You're almost 50.
So that so bothered me because it's true. And that's what bothered
that's
me.
That's not what he said that night, though.
No.
What did
no,
you say, I, Greg? Tell. Come on.
I'm sure that I brought up. I don't know.
Oh, well,
what do you say to that?
Yeah.
Sticks and stones may break my bones.
You don't always make
I
a bed.
I don't know.
Did you say something like that?
That's right. Well, she actually does. That would not help me either.
Yeah. So.
I hate your vegetable soup, which I do. But anyway, it bothered me because it that was true. That is true. In 24 years later, at 47 years of age, that shouldn't be true. And it really, it caused me to kind of, at some point the next day, just be a little introspective. And then I actually had to fly out. So Aaron, I mean, actually the next morning probably we both apologized. I don't know what she was apologizing for.
I think
for,
I apologized first.
Yes, thank you. That felt good.
She was modeling something.
I don't know what she was taking responsibility for, but whatever it was, I'm sure I agreed. And we actually came up with a really good plan for Garrison and all that. So, I mean, we worked that part of it out. That was fine. But I had to fly out, and so I flew to Family Life, where Ron Deal works, and he heads up their blended family ministry at Family Life. And we're just talking about some projects that we'd like to work on together. And we're at lunch, just me and him. And we're just talking, and he was asking me about something. And I was like, yeah. He was telling me maybe something that he and Nan had gotten into, and I was like, hey, I just got into a fight with my wife. So as we were talking, he just made a really simple statement. He said, you ought to pay attention to Proverbs 13:10. And I'm like, Ron, let's pretend that I don't know every verse in the Bible. What does that say? And so the verse is that pride leads to conflict. And I promise you, this is so like pathetic that wouldn't have occurred to me before, or that I think what I realize is that's exactly what keeps me engaged for a 2-hour conversation. It's my pick and pride. Mm. And I don't think that I've ever honestly acknowledged that or even thought about that in that verse. So him saying that, because what he said, he went on to talk about that the problem is that in James 4:6, and it says that God opposes the proud. And then he said this, and he goes, Greg, so does your wife.
Wow.
And in other words, when someone opposes you, that means they're going to compete against you. They're going to face off with you. They're going to do battle. It's combat. And it was like I just sat there as he went on talking, and I'm replaying every conflict that we've ever had, going, yep, I got prideful. Oop, yep, she opposed that, and that kept us locked in for a long, long time. And it was just, it was profound for me to go, that is exactly right, that God opposes the proud, and so will your spouse.
That's fantastic. It really is.
And so thus, I took probably 10 hours, because I had flights and I was off and I had some time, but I really dug in to try to better understand what that really looks like. What does that mean? And I think for me, as I'm reflecting back even on that conflict, see, the couple things that stand out in Philippians 2:3, it says ambition or vain conceit.
Say that again, because you bleeped out, and just want to tell you we have to take a break in about 45 seconds. But is that have nothing to do with self-ambition and vain conceit? Is that the passage?
Yes. Yeah, so this is, so I think why pride will be opposed is because of selfish ambition and vain conceit. I think there's something unique about those two things that as I've really studied this, that's part of the problem. I'd love to talk
about
those two words mean and how they apply to
conflict. Sounds good. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. More with them when we return. But that song is so fun by Danny Gokey. If you need a good brand new Christmas album, you got to listen to Danny Gokey's album. I had him on a couple weeks ago. Fantastic conversation. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to our friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about a very important element in conflict in marriage. And we were talking before the break, if you just tuned in, about just a conflict they recently had, and kind of God gave a revelation to Greg through his wife, which is always amazing. And truly,
and Ron Deal.
And
both
Ron
of them
Deal.
Teamed up.
Yeah, shout out to Ron
I
Deal.
Called him.
And Aaron Smalley, yeah. But right before the break, you were talking about pride and how, and we were saying how pride kind of comes in different shades, and how you realize there's an underlying pride in dragging an argument out and not letting it go. And then you referenced a passage about having nothing to do with selfish ambition, vain conceit. Greg, pick it up from there and take it.
Yeah, so what has become so clear to me is that conflict is rooted in pride, And think of it this way. It's like when we get into conflict, remember we often talk about the fact that our heart shuts down. You know, when we square off, when we start debating, you know, getting frustrated with each other, hurt by each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our heart
well,
closes down.
Yeah, and we always use the example of the roly-poly bug. That, and, you know, so when you step into conflict, your heart automatically shuts down. And the thing I love about that analogy is that when you picture, if you were inside a tight little ball, you know, rolled up like the roly-poly bug, you can't see beyond yourself. And so it is the perfect analogy that we become so self-focused during conflict and when our heart closes. And so it's just something to be aware of, that you definitely become very self-focused, or as the verse says, selfish ambition.
Yeah, it's like inside that closed heart, you're manufacturing pride. That's what's being manufactured.
Wow.
Love is not being manufactured. Mm-hmm. Pride is being manufactured. What does that really look like? I think that's where that Philippians 2. So it shows up as first a selfish ambition, which basically means that I place my self-interest ahead of what's good for my spouse. So in that night, so as Aaron and I were discussing this and talking it through, my heart shut down. You know, I was bothered by what she was saying. I didn't agree with it. I thought she was being too nitpicky with Garrison. He's a good kid. Like, he works hard during the week. I mean, all that. So I'm now shut down, and I'm manufacturing pride, and I'm not thinking of what is good for her. I love that the Greek word for selfishness is acting for one's own gain, regardless of the strife that it causes. And when I saw that, I laughed because I thought.
Read it again.
Okay, so the Greek word for selfish ambition, it means acting for one's own gain regardless of the strife that it causes.
Mm.
So in other words, I am sitting
wow.
in our basement and I'm watching us go through this strife, this conflict. We're squared off. There's a rivalry there. That's what it felt like. It's we're feuding. It's creating division. And it's like, even in the midst of all that, I am so concerned about my own interest that's all that matters.
In
like
your
it
case,
wasn't mattering.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't mattering that here we are totally disconnected, totally. It's a rivalry is really what it felt like. And, you know, James 3:16 says that for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice, which is so perfect because, you know, I wasn't listening. Instead, I'm trying to prove my point and I'm shutting down. I mean, that's what it creates. And so part of that pride will show up as I am so self-focused on my interests, regardless of the impact that's having upon Aaron. I mean, wouldn't you say that's is that what it felt like to you?
Completely.
Darn,
especially
she was going to rescue. Oh no,
the
Greg.
Rivalry. I mean, it was
you're perfect and yeah. wonderful and handsome.
Yeah, usually,
and strong.
But not last night. Many nights ago, it was. It totally felt like rivalry. But then, if you keep reading the verse, it goes, you know, with the vain conceit. And, you know, vain conceit really is the attitude that you're always right. And I'm not going to say anything about about that, but...
you it's know, true. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Hmm. And the Greek word for the meaning of the Greek word vain conceit is meaning that you are excessively proud of your own opinion.
Whoa.
And I was. Oh, I thought that
okay,
the
I
way
can
I
see
laid
it now.
Out the whole argument about why that's not true about
but
Garrison.
But the funny thing is that the attitude, I mean, the I'm right attitude, really does make communication break down. Because there's no room for your spouse's opinion or perspective. And, you know, and
that's how you felt. Wasn't
yeah, totally.
It? In
but
yeah.
I mean, in fairness, I will say that, I mean, I had my own stuff going on. So Greg is, you know, talking about his insights, his awareness. I mean, as this started to take off and, you know, we started spinning out of control, that, I mean, I had my own pride. I was hurt. That, you know, I just offered this opinion and was expecting to have this nice, you know, conversation. We're teammates, you know, we're raising this child together. And that, you know, I thought it would be a conversation of, hey, well, this is what I see we could do and, you know, adjust this and that. And it just didn't happen. So then I got hurt. My heart closed. And, you know, my pride was shaken out all over the place.
That's a one way to put it.
It
I like
is.
That.
I mean, it was
nice
there
visual.
Too.
Yeah. He's like, I'm so attracted to you right now.
Can we be done? Can we pray and go home now, please?
Yeah. Anyway, so, okay, let's pause here for a moment. We had a listener email, and she said, so grateful you guys are talking about this today. God's been really revealing to me my prideful heart. I have a lot to work through with God about control issues that are in process. I've been praying for patience a lot, and God humbled me in the way only He knows I can understand, with irony, and revealed to me that I've been praying for patience to deal with my prideful heart towards the people around me, if that makes any sense. I was wondering now if there were any practical tips on making humility a habit. Thank you. Thanks for that email, friend.
Yeah, that's good, and I think that's the right place to go. What do we do about this? Because our hope is what you're hearing, mm-hmm. is that conflict is rooted in pride, as it says in Proverbs 13:10. The problem with that is that God opposes the proud, so will your spouse. And that's huge. That was huge for me to go, yes. Boy, when I'm acting with my own interest, when it's about me, when it's I need to get what I think and believe and feel out there so she understands that I'm right, Aaron will oppose that. And that made a lot of sense. And the antidote for all this is humility. You know, the rest of Philippians 2:3 says, remember, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. So I think that's the opportunity then is in those moments is how do we go from that prideful posture where our closed heart is manufacturing. I mean, there's just picture this little assembly line cranking out of your heart, and it's all pride, selfishness, whatever. I mean, judgment, you know, that I'm right at whatever you picture that as. How do we then make that shift? Because that's a hard thing to get out of.
It is. Got to say, one of the best books I've ever read on humility is titled Humility by Andrew Murray, one of my favorite dead guys ever. And Bethany House published it. I think you probably could get it on Amazon for $5. It's a small little brown book, and it just says humility. And it reads like a devotional. But I tell you, I read that thing. It just changed my life. I read it several times. And if you want to know more about humility, check it out. You can just go on Amazon. Check out Humility, Andrew Murray, Bethany House Publishers.
Okay.
Fantastic book.
Andrew Murray. I'll do it.
He's taking notes.
I know you were talking to me.
Maybe I'll put it in your stocking.
There you go.
Stocking.
Oh, you know what, though? That comment might have been rooted in pride.
look, we got it for each other.
You're out for my interest.
I'm buying you a gift. Gifts are my love language.
Yeah. Yeah. You know you're not humble when you start wearing the button that you've learned about humility. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am so humble.
I've learned so much about it. But say a word more, if you would, about how pride kind of comes in these varying shades. Because, there, you know, when we think pride, we think of the arrogant, full of himself, you know, character on a movie who's just thinking everybody should line up with his interests. But pride does come in these varying shades. What are symptoms that pride is fueling a conflict in a negative way? What are some other symptoms as you think back and maybe take inventory? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but what comes to mind?
You know, I think of words like arrogance. Definitely, I was smug as I sat in the chair, all nice and proud of how I saw things and my opinion. So I think it's going to show up as arrogance. Judgment, you know, judging what Aaron was thinking, feeling. I think it showed up with some exaggerated or even faulty assumptions about my wife. I mean, I remember just sitting there thinking, I mean, guy, this is our son you're talking about. Is this really? Do you really believe that about him? Because man, he needs parents who love and support him and cheering him on. And I mean, it's so smug.
Like all
and all
I'm
that.
Asking for are boundaries.
I know. I get. I know that now.
So it's maybe part moment. Of that smugness is that another person's opinion couldn't possibly be valid. I suppose like a shutdownness, right, to someone else's.
Yeah, just, I mean, it makes, see, obviously my my thoughts, my feelings all seem right to me. They mm-hmm. make sense. I see all that clearly. A stubbornness is one. You talk a two-hour conversation.
That's endurance.
Mm-hmm. Greg, he gets a little stubborn.
Honestly, on the other side, I felt discredited. I felt misportrayed. I felt like I was being punished because of my opinion. I felt dishonored, discouraged. And it just doesn't feel good on the other end of receiving it.
Which is why you will oppose that.
You know, this is maybe just a side topic, but I feel like it bears repeating. I remember reading an article once that said, in a marriage, there's always one person who's kind of the watchtower person who sees far and discerns things before they're actually very obvious. And oftentimes it is the woman, but not always. But what if Aaron was discerning something far off, going, this could turn into a potential problem? I mean, I think it might be good to just consider that in marriage to say, all right, I already know this about Aaron, so I'm going to pay close attention to when things come up. You know what I'm saying? I just think having that mm-hmm. conversation ahead of time, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, in outside of the heat of the moment, I agree 100% with that. I get that. She has that intuition. She's proven that over a million times in our marriage. I have those intuitions, and so it's just not her, but definitely me.
Mm-hmm.
It's when my heart shuts down, and I'm manufacturing pride. It's really, really hard to posture up like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to go, oh, yeah, that's right. She's so insightful.
Yeah.
Her intuition is amazing. Yeah, I wish I could do that. And I think so what I tried to do is then go, what could have been different? Like, how would humility then have mm-hmm. showed up within that conversation? I mean, that's the email from mm-hmm. Our listener.
Exactly.
What would that have actually looked like?
Thinking of that passage, the pure in heart see God. And when you're not pure in heart, you're not going to discern what God's doing. This listener says, you're so beautifully humbly owning what you do wrong in conflict. I fear that if I admit some wrong, that I will end up taking all of the blame. How can I speak up and yet be humble? Fantastic question. I want you to think about that because we're going to take a break. Got another caller who called in, and we'll cover that one when we come back to one last segment. This is your chance to get your questions answered. Feel free to call anonymously or write anonymously if you need to. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with our dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, when we come back. Danny Gokey's Christmas album, really my favorite this year. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fantastic conversation with our friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about a very important element when it comes to conflict in marriage, and that's humility and how often pride shows up and rears its head in these different ways. Tom called and said, my wife and I had an argument last night, and we're listening to the show right now. It's great content and admittedly a comfort that even the marriage experts have conflicts and long, quote-unquote, conversations. I love that. God bless you, Tom. We love that you're listening. And this listener says, you are so beautifully, humbly owning what you do wrong in conflict. I fear that if I admit some wrong, that I will end up taking all of the blame. How can I speak up and yet remain humble? So take this last bit of time, 8 minutes or so, unpacking how we walk this thing out.
You know, for that last comment, so how can I be humble yet not fear that I'm going to have to take all the blame, all the responsibility? That's a great concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an easy place to worry about. And I think of 1 Peter 5:5. It says, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud but gives his grace to the humble. So I think the security is that even if my fear is that, then it's all going to be on me, it's all going to be my fault, I'll get all the blame. You know, the upside is that God is going to give us grace And I am convinced that when we humble ourselves, that it will set up an opportunity for our, also for our spouse to do that. I think as much as our spouse will oppose pride, I think our spouse, like God, will give us grace, or more likely to. It's like a gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, it's in that same vein, and it's worth the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's never guarantees. But I wish in hindsight I would have loved, and I could even have this conversation with Aaron, but what a great thing to go home and ask our spouse, what would humility actually look like within one of our quote-unquote long discussions?
Yeah.
Like what would – so it's almost like tailor that. What, Aaron, what would that look like? How would I know – how would you know if I was being humble? Because some
That's
of the things that I came up with was first that my focus is on her. So instead of my focus being on me and how I feel and what I think, my focus would be on her.
Yeah, and that would definitely feel more humble.
Yeah, so well, yeah, maybe we'll answer that then. Yeah, what would that look like?
You know, if you were putting your focus on me, you would be, you know, asking me to explain what I meant and, you know, just trying to understand what my point of view was. And, you know, or, you know, giving me attention, your full attention. And because it was definitely obvious during the conversation that really it didn't matter what I said, because he was so shut down, he really wasn't hearing it.
Because I was right.
And you were thinking about
that's
your
pride.
Next, yeah,
no, defense. But that was, that's mm-hmm. exactly
yeah.
why.
And you're mm-hmm. seeking to understand, you're mm-hmm. listening with your full body. Mm-hmm. You're assuming the best about me, that I had Garrison's best intention. That was why I was doing what I was doing. It wasn't to punish him. And, you know, instead of trying to change my stance, you know, if there was a problem, you know, going to the Lord and going, you know, God, work in her heart, work in my heart. And
that's actually praying.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. That's the key, I think, to all of this, is that we started with the verse, you know, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. That in the midst of this, it sounds so good. So the antidote for pride is humility. But how do we get there? Well, the scripture says it just quite clear. And so in the middle of one of these long disagreements, I wish we would have done it that night, you know, just take a short break. And there's something powerful about walking away from something that you're so closed down, yet being obedient and taking the time to go and to spend some brief time with the Lord and just to humble yourself before him. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, that changes
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back to the conversation when you've both done that, I mean, we have that opportunity because we have the Holy Spirit within us. And so to go and do that and then come back, that's how we get humble. That's how we then show up so differently, you know, focusing on you, not focusing on myself, giving you my attention, not taking all the attention myself, assuming the best about you, not assuming negative, horrible, awful things. You know, it's just so key to go and spend that time before the Lord and come back to the conversation.
I got to say,
I've been writing these things down.
Yes, taking furious notes.
I need to send them to you.
Yeah.
And you can post them because you're right. That's what humility would then look like.
Yeah, it's excellent.
We'll send them your way. And you can do whatever you want with them.
I think it sounds great. As I'm listening to Aaron talk, I'm thinking she's really expressing the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Mm-hmm. She's talking about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, because love is humble. That is what love looks like. Mm-hmm. It does believe the best. It doesn't keep records of wrong. It defers and prefers others. And, you know, I think, too, if we go in ahead of time and make a point to remember that if I'm prideful, I'm going to want my pound of flesh, and flesh gives birth to more flesh. Nothing good can come out of that. It may feel good for a moment, but in the end, it's more like something that steals from us, you know?
I absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of good verses, like you just said, that will lay out the fruits of the Spirit in love is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, and again, I'm admitting that I do a terrible job of this, and so I'm saying that what excites me, what is actually feels like a little bit of hope, since I've been doing this all my life, it's about time to try something different, maybe. What I want to try to do differently is in those discussions to keep saying to myself, pride, pride, pride. I mean, I feel like if I can just remember
identify
that my natural place to slip into to begin to manufacture is going to be the pride, and then just keep going, what would then in my mind, what would humility look like right now? And just make that my goal. and I don't want to win. I want to be humble, because the beauty of it is that God gives His grace then to the humble,
yeah.
And more than likely, I can't guarantee it, but more than likely, I'm assuming that when I become humble with Erin, she's then, I think grace will look like our spouse then being interested then in our perspective,
indeed,
in our side,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's like that one. The one listener wrote in, you know, well, how will I though know that it won't be all my fault? I don't know. I can't guarantee it. But I tell you what, if grace is extended, it means that then our spouse will be open to hearing their, you know, your side of it and how this was all impacting you, your experience, those kinds of things.
Marilyn,
that's the hope.
That's wonderful. I'm sure you've heard Marilyn Meberg of Women of Faith. She'd tell women, 40,000 women at one point, women, don't be afraid to humble yourselves and submit to your husbands. It's just God asking you to get low enough so He can deck them.
So
women, just humble yourself so God can deck them. But the truth of the matter is, there is a supernatural grace, as you say. God meets you in that humble place. Mm-hmm. There's another passage. It's God says, I dwell in that high and lofty place and in spirits who have contrite and humble hearts. And you think about it, these are the places God dwells, in that high and lofty place, and He considers it as much of an honor to dwell in the humble heart. I mean, that's profound when you think about it.
Mm. Yeah, it's remember that Philippians 2:3 that says the other side of this, but rather in humility value others about yourself. Romans 12:10, I love in the ESV version, it says to outdo one another in showing honor. And so that, for me, that becomes the goal. So we're in a argument, we're in a long discussion, a debate, whatever. How can I then step back enough to go pride? Oh, that's right. That's what's showing up. How can I value? How can I outdo my wife in honor? In those, that list that you shared, Erin, that's it. I focus on you. I give you my full attention. I'm patient. I seek to understand before being understood. I listen with my eyes. I assume the best about you. I don't try to change you. I ask God to change me. I forgive you.
Mm.
See, that's humility
that's
played
beautiful.
Out in an argument.
Well, I can't thank you both enough for, again, your honesty. You can tell our listeners appreciate it so much. They're taking notes, too, and we all learn so much from you both. As we wrap up, Erin, I'm wondering if you would just pray for all of us that we, instead of going, you know, my husband needs to hear this message, we would hear this message and we'd walk in humility. Would you pray for us, hon?
Yes. Oh, Lord, we just come before you and I thank you for insights, even through difficulties that, Lord, you continue to teach us and guide us. And so, Lord, I ask if there's any couples listening or someone listening and there's been disagreement, disharmony, Jesus, that they humble themselves before you first and foremost, Lord. Get their heart in a good place, Jesus. Because you promise you're going to lift us up in honor. So, Lord, I just pray that they can trust you so much that they can go and interact with their spouse with a humble, soft, pliable, open heart, that the fruits of the Spirit then can flow out from them. Because of you, Jesus, that they'll flow through their heart, their open heart, to their spouse, Lord, and may that make a difference in the way the conversation goes, Lord. We trust you. We can trust your word. We can stand on your word, Lord. So thank you, and we thank you and we praise you, Jesus. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Amen. Merry Christmas to you both. We just love you so much and appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
Merry Christmas.
Always good to be with you.
And let's not forget, it's what you get, not what you get. Remember this, Jesus is the reason for.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Now, remember, tomorrow is the great giveaway. That's Thursday. If you need information, go to our Live the Promise show page. But basically, get out of your comfort zone, engage in a random act of kindness, call us on the show tomorrow and tell us about it. It's going to be a great day, but it won't be great if you don't show up. Hope to hear from you. Remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.